Welcome to Live from the Dark Room. So glad you're tuning in today. I get to sit down with Mark Franklin, who is the principal photographer and photo editor for Playbill in New York. We're going to sit and talk a little bit about creative burnout, especially during the pandemic. So I'm super excited to get into that. You can follow Mark, that is Mark with a C, at Mark J. Franklin on Instagram or MarkJFranklin.com. You can also follow along with the show at Photo Lessons by Andy on Instagram, and you can follow me at Andy Henderson. So without further ado, let's just get into the show. Thanks for joining us, and a huge welcome to Mark Franklin. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Mark.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk.
I am so excited. I've been looking forward to this all day. I did want to say first, we met, I guess it was 2 years ago, nearly 2 years ago. I reached out to you via Instagram before I even lived in New York, and I asked if you'd ever want to get coffee. You said, yeah. You were like, yeah, let's meet up for coffee. Come to the Playbill studio. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the Playbill studio. I was nervous. I was really nervous, but it was so much fun. And I feel like we became really good friends through that.
We did. And it's crazy because I remember before you had come to the Playbill studio, I had saved a bunch of your work that I had seen on Instagram, just like as, you know, floating on the internet, because I save all the things and like organize them on Instagram based on inspiration. And I had saved a bunch of your work.
Oh,
and so you were like, do you want to get coffee? And I was like, yes, I would love to get coffee, but what am I going to tell this person who's already immensely so talented? And we did, and the rest is history.
Wow. I didn't know that. That means so much to me because you were a huge inspiration. I had seen your work. I mean, clearly seen your work first on Instagram, but even, you know, in Playbill and things like that, and being able to actually sit down face-to-face with you and talk through things. And you were so welcoming and so just kind with your time and energy. That is something that I will never forget, because I really feel like you were a big pivotal point in my transition into living and working in New York City. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Oh my God, of course. I remember meeting, and you were like, it's being in the Playbill studio is so cool and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, that place is just work. And the thing that I was most excited about, I mean, we have a small studio. It is like nothing fancy at all. Mm. The thing that I am always most excited about, I'm always like, do you want coffee? It's free. We have free coffee. And you're like, oh my God, I am in the studio, and I'm focused on like, do you want, look at this mug. It's a Playbill mug.
I was just like awestruck by everything. And like after that, you allowed me, invited me to come onto a couple of shoots with you. And so we did work together a couple of times. And that was also just really, really impactful in my photography career. Like that was a blast. Like those shoots, I will never forget those. That was so much fun.
They were so much fun. I remember those shoots, and I remember a couple of things. Oh, I haven't thought about this in a very long time.
Yeah.
But I remember, you were just, from that first meeting, you were really fun to work with. You clearly knew your stuff. But like whenever I'm working with somebody on a shoot, especially if I'm like the lead photographer and I'm looking for an assistant, you don't have to be like, I know everything technical. You just have to be ready to work and problem solve. And
sure.
Also, most importantly, I am like a person like with, I'm so scatterbrained sometimes when I'm on a shoot. Like I'm really focused on, you know, my subjects and stuff, but I am not focused on like, okay, what time is it? Do I need water? Like that. And so like I just want like always like working with people who are just like really fun, amazing, hardworking people who are just good to be around. But then the other thing that I just remembered, I gave you homework after our first meeting.
Oh, you did? Man, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I was like, you know, because you were talking to me so much about, like, you know, because you were new to the city and wanted to be in this, you know, this theater scene and photographing, because clearly you have the work and the talent and the skill. And then there's like the art and the business side of things. And it's like, how do you break into the business side? And I remember telling you, giving you the challenge, you need to reach out and do one shoot with one person who is leading on Broadway. Just one. Just shoot your shot. And you did. And then, like, I feel like the next week I saw a bunch of work from you with like so many people, like Kaylin Kinnunen, who I love so much,
yeah.
Hannah Carneau, who was in Wicked, mm-hmm. Timothy Hughes, who was in Hadestown. And I was like, I mean, I didn't tell you to do anything other than like send people Instagram DMs, and then you just like skyrocketed. So I'm so proud.
when you said that to me, I was like, it kind of opened up this mode of thinking that I didn't have before, because I just thought, you know, these people, they're not going to want me to be, you know, getting in their DMs and trying to get them to come to the studio, and they don't know who I am. I'm not working currently on Broadway. And so it was nerve-wracking for me, because I didn't want to, you know, start off on the wrong foot with anybody or anything like that. But yeah, you told me to do that, and I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I did, and people just responded. They were like, yeah, absolutely. I want photos. Like, why not? And that was a huge turning point for me, 100%.
And I don't always say that. I mean, like, I say, in terms of just creating anything as a photographer, I always just recommend shooting your shot in general. But I don't always recommend right away, like, hey, DM people, like, you know, big people on Broadway or in general. But I think because you have to be ready to do that, you have, right. And in your case, you had the portfolio, you have the skill and the talent. Like if it was somebody who had just picked up a camera a week ago, I wouldn't say, hey, just reach out to people. But sure. In your case, like, and in the case of so many other people, like they are ready. And the hardest, scariest part is ripping off the band-aid. And at a certain point, like in a world where everybody already is going to tell you no, you have to be the one to tell yourself yes. And if you send somebody a DM, the worst thing that will happen is that they either say no thank you or they just don't respond.
Yeah.
Which you already have done for yourself if you don't shoot your shot. And so right. Yeah, you just did it, and then you skyrocketed. And like, I still to this day save your work because it is, you know, it's so good.
Oh my gosh, Mark, that means so much to me. And I think the other thing that also helped that specifically was the fact that, I mean, at that time I had a studio that I was managing. And so I had the free time from work, but also the space, you know, I wasn't having to rent out a space. And I also wasn't having to say to these actors, hey, do you want to meet me under this bridge in Central Park? Like, but, I want to talk a little bit about your photography journey specifically before we get into things. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question that I ask everybody at the beginning of every show. If you had to use one lens for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
I'm going to say, and you're going to laugh because it's the same one every single person has said thus far, but I'm going to go with the 50 millimeter.
Yeah.
I love portrait work so, so much. That is like my favorite thing about photography is capturing people.
Yeah.
And that 50 millimeter is so perfect for portraiture. You know, just the glass, the perspective, the quality, it's so great. I shoot with a Canon, so the 50 millimeter 1.2 specifically is fantastic. But like, also lenses are expensive, and Canon has a 50 millimeter 1.8 that is only $125.
It's ridiculous.
It's so cheap, and it's so useful. It is also tiny. So it's so easy just to, you can literally fit it in your pocket. Yeah. It is very small.
Yeah.
Maybe putting it in your pocket might be, it depends on the size of your coat.
Right.
But it's very, very tiny. And it's, I keep it with me always, even if I'm using another lens, just to have. But the, it's, and that's a 1.8, but the 50 millimeter 1.2 really is everything.
Listen, it's a consensus. I say it a lot, but you know, nifty 50, they call it that for a reason.
Yep.
I want to talk about your photography journey. I want you to tell me a little bit about where you started and how you've grown, and I guess how you ended up in the role as principal photographer and photo editor for Playbill.
Sure. I started, you know, photography in a really structured way, almost a little late. I was in college, I was a junior, but my, you know, interest in art had started ever since I was a kid. I wanted to be a cartoonist. I don't think I've ever told anybody this. When I was in middle school, I was really interested in like filmmaking and movie making. My brother was as well. And I remember when we, you know, finished eighth grade, getting ready to go into high school, the one of the gifts that I got for finishing eighth grade, my brother and I were twins, so we shared a lot of gifts. And we got a camcorder, and we made like little videos and stuff like that. And I completely like lost track of it. But anyway, but I had loved photography as well, using point and shoots and like, you know, circa 2004 point and shoot cameras. And then when I was a senior in high school, my brother took a film photography class that I couldn't fit into my schedule, but I was always with him in the darkroom. And that really kind of was like, it had piqued my interest specifically as photography. And then when I was in college, I picked it up my junior year. I got my first DSLR, and I was a theater student. And so when you're in theater, everybody needs headshots.
Yeah.
Everybody needs, it was at the point where a lot of my classmates were applying to grad school. And so they just needed portfolio pieces if they were designers. So they were like, can you take a picture of this set I designed or this light design? And so I jumped in a pretty structured way, and I would also just take photos. But yeah, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I was doing some theater work, and I was also photographing and trying to do a parallel career at the same time. And then when I was 25, I moved to New York finally. And I quickly realized I just wanted to do photography. I was doing some theater stuff, and I realized I would rather spend my time doing photography than like trying to keep doing theater. And I still love theater, obviously.
Sure.
I mean, I still work in it, but
yeah,
my interest in photography is not just in theater. I'm interested in photography as an art form as a whole. And I was like, I want to know more about lifestyle photography. I want to shoot more scenic stuff. I want to do more portrait work. So I was focusing on that. And then I applied to Playbill when the staff photographer job came up. One of my friends worked in sales, and he, you know, texted me one day, and said, "Hey, are you looking for a job? Playbill is looking for a staff photographer." And I was like, "Absolutely. Like full-time photography. I would love that." And
yeah,
he was like, "Great. Well, they are already in final rounds, and you should apply today."
Oh, wow.
So, you know, because they had already seen a bunch of applicants who were all so talented. But at that point, I just wanted to get seen.
Just get
my foot in the door in any way, shape, or form. So I applied, and it was a pretty fast process from when I first applied, or when I even first heard of it. From when I first heard about the job to when I was officially hired was 6 days.
Wow.
Yeah, because they were already so far along, they didn't want to delay the process so much, so they just sped everything along.
Yeah.
I'm sure they didn't want to just, like, wait, and I just got really lucky to get the job, and part of that was just, like, from constantly shooting, you know, I had already had a portfolio. I had already done a bunch of theater work. I had already done a bunch of portrait work. My Instagram is essentially a portfolio page. I already had my website made. Mm-hmm. So literally all I had to do was just like update my cover letter to say, Dear Playbill.
Yeah.
And I applied for that. So it was like, wow, a mix of luck. But more than luck, it was being prepared for when the opportunity struck. You know, sure, you always want to be prepared to leap when opportunities do arise. So 100%. That's how I got here. And wow, that was 4 years ago.
Wow. I mean, so you've worked there for 4 years. What, I mean, can you just tell me a little bit about maybe a project that you are proud of that you have been able to work on? And it doesn't have to be for Playbill specifically. I'm just interested to know, in terms of photography, if there's anything that you've worked on that you are most proud of.
Yeah, actually, you know, I haven't talked about this or thought about this in a while, but I think it really was the launching point that got me the Playbill job. Mm-hmm. And was really, like, personally a great project that was fulfilling. When I moved to New York, about a year after, you know, I love New York. I love exploring it. There's so much of this city to see, to do. And I was in Battery Park, which is at the very tip of Manhattan, the very bottom. And I saw this quote. It's from a poem. And it's about New York. It's and it's called City of Ships. And it describes New York as a mad, extravagant city. And I saw it and I was like, I want to do a project around this. And so I did a year-long personal project. I'm all for personal projects, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah. I did a year-long personal project where I told myself I wanted to capture New York City from in 100 images, 25 per season. Wow. Over the course of four seasons. And I really use it as a way to capture like the people and the places and the things that make New York, New York. I mean, granted, also, I was like, I've been here for a year. What did I know about New York? Like, there are still so many places that I haven't seen, but it gave me this really structured way to continue, one, exploring the city. Because of that project, I was going to go visit places that I had never been to, yeah, seeing things that I had never done, photographing, taking portraits of people in places. And so it was a mix of portrait work and street photography and so I did that for a year, and a lot of those pieces that I made in that project, which is still on my website, it's buried in there, but it's still on my website. a lot of those pieces I still really love, and a lot of those pieces made it to my portfolio that I submitted when I had to apply to Playbill. And I think for me, having whether it's this personal project, which was really meaningful to me, or any personal project, I think having a structured way to keep creating is really useful. I'm very goal oriented, and the more not even bite-sized, but actionable it is, it makes it, I resonate with that. So knowing that I had to photograph 25 per season, and that was useful, and I didn't want it to be, okay, you only took 25 photos. I wanted it to be, these out of all the photos that I took with intention, I have curated it to be these 25 that I share. Yeah. So I'm gonna go with that one. And then there's a bunch of other projects that I've made as a photo editor versus as a photographer, sure, which is like, you know, as a journalist versus as a photographer. So but Mad Extravagant City as a project was the one that really kicked it off for me.
Wow, that is awesome. And I know that I've seen some of those images, but I have to, right after this, I'm literally going straight to your website. I'm gonna look at and find that, because that is incredible. And that's such a cool project for you to be able to work on too, and like you said, you know, give you the experience of exploring more of New York after being there for only a year, but also just like the dedication and the time that you spent saying to yourself that, you know, I have to do this, I'm going to do this, and then you just being really happy with it, I think is also super important.
Yeah, thank you. And I mean, I don't I try to give myself little projects now because I still love personal work. And one of the things that I learned from that, one of the ways that I initially started that project too, was I still to this day, if I am out somewhere, and you know, I have a backpack with me, 9 times out of 10, my camera is in that bag. And I don't always shoot with, you know, I don't always shoot, but I want the ability to make something if I do feel inspired or creative, or if I just see something that's really cool. Yeah. I want to have that option and that flexibility. So yeah.
Definitely. And that, I think that's really important too, is, you know, not only seeking out these projects and, you know, acting on these projects, but also just having the ability to do the projects, and even small projects that you just think of on the day of, I think is really cool too. You know, you and I have recently talked about projects and kind of what we've been doing, especially during the pandemic, but, something you had mentioned to me was your journey kind of navigating creative burnout. Like, I know last year and this year too have just been really insane for creatives all across the art world. And I think especially in photography, we saw burnout happening even before the pandemic. I mean, you and I follow a lot of photographers and have talked to a lot of photographers. So yeah, I think before 2020, we saw that a lot, but even more so in 2020. Could you just tell me a little bit about your experience with that and kind of what you think about it?
Yeah, of course. So I am really lucky in my job. Well, in the before times, but also still now, you know, I'm a staff photographer. You know, I got promoted to principal photographer, but part of being a staff photographer is you're constantly shooting anything and everything for work. And then you're also shooting your own personal creative stuff. And then you're also, you know, you're seeing stuff on Instagram, and we're definitely of a content hustle generation. And I always say, like I was just saying, you know, a bit ago, there is something to be said about constantly making, constantly having your, for, you know, your camera around so you can shoot. But then at a certain point, I was shooting so much that I lost a little bit of the art in it, which happens. That is a, like, creative burnout and imposter syndrome, that is a part of being an artist. Yeah. But I think the thing that I realized was that I, at a certain point, was starting to feel like I was a photography machine and not an artist. And so I wasn't liking a lot of the stuff that I was making on a daily basis. And they were, once again, they weren't bad. You know, I put my all into them, but it just wasn't, I was making the photography product. That has been an interesting journey to navigate in the pandemic. You know, Broadway and theater is shut down. It just is. It has been for a really long time, almost a year. We don't know when it's coming back. It's all dependent on the vaccine rollout. And I go between these two feelings, and this is literally on a daily basis, which is, I want to be making stuff. I miss making stuff, but then also I was so burnt out, and I'm still navigating my own, you know, daily life outside of being an artist. I'm navigating all of these things. And so I, even though I want to create, if I don't feel creative, that is okay. Honor that. Don't force it. Like, the way to make, to exacerbate your burnout is to force yourself to do it. And I think there's a balance, right? There's the balance of, I am feeling creative, but I'm nervous. I'm not sure if this is going to be good. In which case, I'll say, you just need to take that leap and do it. And then there's the other side of it, which is, you have to listen to, and it's a very thin line. The other side is, I just don't have this in me today. Like, I don't feel creative. And you have to listen to that. And you can actively recharge, and you can also live your life, which is something that I'm trying to figure out. I get a lot of inspiration from a lot of things outside of photography, you know, whether that's music, or I love music. Music is like my big, could I, if I weren't a photographer, I'd want to be an A&R somewhere. But I listen to a lot of music. I watch a lot of like a lot of TV, a lot of like Netflix, randomly like Chef's Table and Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. Like I watch a lot of cooking shows that are shot gorgeously, things like that, which I do because I love and I get inspiration from, but I also am not there to be like, ah, yes, I have to look at this to get an idea so I can make a shoot. I'm just living my life and then I'll find something that I'm inspired by.
Sure.
So yeah, I just ranted for a really long time about where I am right now, but I'm sure that there are other things to ask and talk about with creative burnout, but that's what's at the top of my brain right now.
No, I mean, that's kind of exactly it. And what you were saying was dead on, because I mean, I felt that way a little bit when the pandemic happened and we moved from New York to Texas. I did not do a creative shoot from March until August. August was the first time that I actually picked my camera up and went in and took photos creatively. I think honestly what it was is that I had been shooting nearly every day for the last 7 years. And it was one of those things where and for the last 7 years, like as a job too. So when I was, well, I guess this would have been like around 2017 to 2019, for nearly 2 years straight, I was shooting a wedding almost every weekend.
Oh my God.
and so, you know, you think about that and I think about how many photos I took. I took an average of, you know, 2,500 photos a wedding. And so I'm editing and I'm culling and editing 10,000 photos a month for like 2 years straight. I'm just like I was so burned out of that, that specifically with weddings, I was just doing the exact same thing every single time. I was shooting the exact same way. It was no longer art. I was no longer trying to find creative ways to shoot. I was just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And the same thing with editing. But I mean, and then even after that, you know, I was getting to do things that I actually enjoyed and felt creative with and was able to create creative shoots. And one of the last shoots that I was able to do was with Ephraim Sykes. And I did this whole thing with red and lights and fabric and a red suit and a red hat. And it was I felt at my most creative. And that was right before the pandemic. That was right, I guess, at the end of February. And so I honestly don't know what it was, but yeah, it just, I think it happens, one, when we're given the opportunity to take a break. I think sometimes we just take advantage of that and take even maybe too long of a break, but and maybe that's just me, but I think at the same time, like if we're doing the same thing over and over and over again, every single day or every single week, I think there is that possibility that we just stop treating it as an art form and start treating it just like work.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that I want to say to you is I remember those photos of Ephraim. They are so fucking fresh. Like, I love them so much. The one of him in the middle of the street in Times Square, like, once again, we talk about photos of yours that I have saved. That is a photo of yours that I have saved. It's so good.
Well, thank you so much. That means so much.
Of course. I'm such a photography nerd. Like, and that's like the other side of it, which is like, be a photography nerd. Like, we all got into this tumultuous art form, whether it's as a career or as a hobby, because we love it. Mm. And so I think what you were talking about, and the thing that I think about a lot with creative burnout and creativity, is that there's a difference between photography as an art and photography as a business. And we're really lucky that we get to do both. Yeah. But they have different needs. And so, for instance, as a business, when it comes to photography, the job is to say yes always. Mm. Like, the job is to put yourself in front of as many opportunities to shoot that wedding every single weekend, because that is how you make your living. That is how you continue getting booked. To post something on Instagram often, because that is how you are known. That's how you get followers, which directly lead to getting gigs. But then you're known for a certain thing. And then as an And when you're known for a certain thing, there's the notion that you have to keep replicating it, and not necessarily replicating the vision, right? Like every shoot has a different sense of art direction. Every wedding will be at a different location. Every time you photograph somebody for a portrait, it's going to be a different person. But there's a certain level of standard of quality, which, you know, as artists as well as a business, you want to maintain. But then when you're shooting a wedding, it is not the time to experiment. It is not the time to
right.
I'm going to try something completely new, and because there's a high potential to fail, and you have to deliver a product to somebody. But then as an artist, the other side of that coin is being able to say no. It's being able to say, I need a break right now. It's being able to say, I do want to try to shoot with this new, I saw this cool idea in a movie. I wonder if I can replicate it. And you have to put yourself in the spot where you can fail. And it's funny talking about creative burnout, which is like whenever I am feeling, you know, really burnt out, even before this period, because this is not my first time dealing with creative burnout, because it's, you know, it's all cyclical. But I typically get out of that creative burnout by making personal work when I am ready to make personal work. I'm to get excited because I feel creative, because I've done something creative, because I've pushed the boundaries. I think the challenge to creative burnout is getting yourself unstuck. And you can't get yourself unstuck if you're doing the same thing what you do with your job. And I think, it's a tricky balance.
Definitely. I mean, I feel like that's how I kind of creatively reset in a way was, you know, after shooting all these weddings. I mean, it was kind of a big life change, but after shooting these weddings, I mean, I stopped booking weddings like a year in advance because we were planning on like moving to New York. And so I stopped shooting weddings, and then, you know, we moved to New York and I started shooting Broadway and Broadway actors. And that was a big reset for me because I was so burned out. But I feel like if I hadn't have moved to New York, I would have had to have started doing things for myself. Just for me, even if no one else saw it, even if I never shared it, never posted it, never put it on my website, I would have had to have done something creative for myself in order to kind of break that routine of the same thing every single week, doing the same amount of work and the same thing, you know?
Right. And like, I mean, you like, once again, like you just said, you have to do things for yourself. And then slowly when you feel up to it, you start making those creative freedoms in your professional business as well. Like maybe you do, you know, when you are on an assignment, you shoot the thing that you need for the client, and then you also try to get something for yourself in there as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they merge. But you have to start to get unstuck with yourself and your own practice and your own, you know, your own creative vision. And I feel like I said, that is really hard. And, you know, you're talking about frequency, and I always think about Instagram with this, because Instagram is so, that's the other side of the other part of this, which is Instagram is so great for establishing connection. It's so great for, you have immediate access to so many people and so many different pieces of art. Right. And that can get overwhelming. And it also, and you feel like this pressure to keep up and to keep up with the hustle. For myself, one of the things that I always advocate for is living out loud a little bit with your art. And so there's the difference between not putting out something because you're not feeling creative and not putting out something because you feel that it is not perfect.
Yeah.
And in that case, like, once again, if you are proud of something, but you're like, I don't know, is this the right time to post during the day? Is this perfect or whatever? Just post it and go. Like, it's the internet. Like, and it will get you jobs. But like, once again, the line to balance is with creative burnout, and also making yourself inspired in creativity and growing is walking that tightrope of, is this fulfilling to me as an artist, or is this perfect? And because your job is not to, your job is to be an artist. Your job is not to be an Instagram marketer. Like, and that's, that is your actual job. And so if you like it, like you're, best today will be something that you're like, oh no, why did I do that? You know, in 2 years, in a month, whoever knows, but like learn out loud when you can. And that is another way to get unstuck. But once again, the thing is you do that when you feel ready to. And you, I mean, like, you just know in your heart the difference, you know?
100%.
It's, like, such a hard thing to describe, but...
No, I mean, I think that's so right. Like, I feel like I use Instagram as a tool in order to grow and connections, and obviously that's how you and I connected initially and met, but, like, at the same time, that's how I got a lot of my work and met a lot of people, but I think there is this kind of dangerous... side of it where young artists or even, you know, artists who have been working for a long time feel the need to be constantly posting and constantly creating because it's Instagram favors that. Like the algorithm favors you posting like every day. Like it doesn't really favor you posting once a month, you know, like it's not a portfolio. I mean, it is, but it's not, it doesn't work that way. The algorithm doesn't. And like, I think it's, along with that and with likes, it's kind of like, well, you know, if I post something and it gets 30 likes, like maybe I should just delete it, you know, even if I love it, you know?
Right. And I think something that you just said that like really like clicked with me, which is you were like, there's a difference. You know, Instagram is incentivizing you to constantly keep creating and constantly keep posting. And there's a big difference between the two of those things. You can still be constantly creating as you're navigating creative burnout, or even just trying to grow and get ahead. You can still constantly be creating, but you don't have to constantly post if you're in a place of creative burnout, or you know, you're trying to figure that out. I mean, I did that today. I still, one of the things that I try to do while I'm in this kind of down period where our industry is not, you know, as bustling as it once was. Broadway is completely shut down. And then also just the photography industry itself is, it's not as bustling because of, you know, distancing and proximity in the pandemic. Right. So I've been using this time to try to just, I've been reading a lot about photography and design. I've been doing a million photography tutorials on Instagram just to pick up new tools to see, to learn, to keep learning and growing. And so I did one and I saw something and it was like looking at light and natural light. And I was like, oh, I like this. I want to see if I can try to incorporate this. So I tried to take a self-portrait today and I took a few and I didn't like them, but that isn't, and that is okay. That's part of it. That's part of getting yourself unstuck. But at least I tried when I felt ready to. And I took that leap and I did something and I edited it. And I was like, you know, that was a fun exercise. It was an experiment. Not all of your experiments are going to be successful. And that is part of experimenting. And that is part of getting yourself unstuck. And so once again, like, post creating and posting are two separate things. And don't get me wrong, I fucking love Instagram. I love the internet. Like I'm always on the internet. Like I am like always commenting on, like excessively supporting someone.
It's the best. I just need you to know it is the best. You consistently comment things and I see them on other photographers' posts too, not just mine. It makes me so happy every time I see one of your comments. It's so great.
I am like such a stan for other people. I'm like that, like your super, super supportive uncle or like your dad who's like, I'm kind of like the mom in Mean Girls when she's like filming and dancing at the Christmas pageant. Like, right. That is me. And so like, I love the internet, but also I also have to recognize my own boundaries as an artist as well.
Yeah. Man, I just think that it's so... I think going back to kind of the creative reset and the creative distance, you know, we talk a lot about creative burnout and what that looks like, going too much too fast, or the same thing, or treating it like work and not so much as art. How do you feel like taking, I guess my question is, how would you say taking breaks helps you or hurts you?
I think taking a break can only help you. Mm-hmm. When you're ready, like, I cannot wait to the moment when I'm through this period of creative burnout and I'm so excited and I'm taking pictures every single day.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for that. That is, I think when we're talking about this, I think I don't want people to think that I'm saying, don't create every day. I'm just saying, don't create every day if you don't feel it, if it's not coming from you authentically. Mm. For me, taking a break allows that. It allows me to recharge. It allows me to find inspiration in other things. It allows me to live more life that I think can only affect my photography.
Yeah.
I love reading. If I'm reading, those are different stories. Those are different experiences. Sometimes I'll get an idea from a line. Sometimes I'll get an idea from a feeling. All of those things. But I always say this is like the hierarchy of being an artist to me. At the very bottom of that totem pole is like the business side of it. It's important, obviously. It's the foundation, obviously. But like, you are in the business because you're a good artist, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And so the business comes, that is the result of your art. And then above that is the art, that is your creativity, that is your creative spirit, that is who you are, that is your talent and your gift. And then above that is your life. And your life always comes first. Like, always, 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 always.
Yeah.
And so take a break, recharge, and then shoot and make amazing stuff after that. But I've never in my entire life had a break and been like, oh no, wish I didn't take that break.
Right. Oh my gosh,
It's the same way. I mean, when you are at any other job, you take a vacation for a reason. People who are in long-term jobs get sabbaticals, if they're lucky, for a reason.
Yeah.
Taking a break can only help you.
No, 100%. And I even think about the fact that I probably took a little bit too long of a break even, you know, not shooting from March to August creatively. And when I picked up that camera in August, I was like, yeah, this is it. Like, I mean, photography for me has always been something that I have known that it was the only thing that I wanted to do since high school. I mean, since high school, I was like, nothing else. I don't care, not photojournalism, creative artistic photography. Like, that has been the only thing. And so when I took that break, it wasn't something where I was like, you know what, maybe I want to go into accounting. It was like, no, photography, like 100%, like, this is what was missing. Like, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And so getting back to it in August, I feel like, yeah, that break only made me stronger. Now, you know, I probably, you know, should have, I felt creative and maybe was just a little lazy, but in the same sense, like, getting back into it, it just felt right. And it gave me a little bit more of a spark to dive in deeper into other things.
Right. And that's what when you talk about it just felt right, that's when you know that, like, you're at the other end. That's when you know you can keep creating when it feels right, because you'll also inversely know when it feels wrong. And then also, I'm going to tease you for a little bit.
And okay.
Be like, hey, you be nice to yourself, because you took a pretty long break between, you know, March and when you started shooting in August. But like, in the middle of that time, you were navigating a pandemic. So, once again, life comes first. If you have to figure out how you're going to pay your bills and survive, I think that is an important thing to do before you figure out how to do a next creative idea. So
yes,
you be nice to yourself.
For sure. For anyone listening also, if it's between paying your bills and doing a creative photo shoot, priorities, right?
Right.
So, Mark, I have so enjoyed talking to you about this. I really think, like, I love this. I can't wait to go back and listen. But before we end, I want to ask you two questions. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to a new photographer or any photographer really who is experiencing that burnout for the first time, whether it be because of the pandemic or just in general.
Yeah, I think I would just reiterate, take a break. And more than the take a break, because I'm sure they already know that and they're experiencing it, be kind to yourself and know that it is okay and that you are not alone, which is not necessarily like advice, that is not an actionable step to know that you're not alone, but it's to know that that is part of the process and that you can actively pick it back up again when you are ready. And in that same vein, with being nice to yourself, it's also be nice to yourself when you are starting again, whether that is like, I took a weekend long break, or I took, you know, time to navigate the pandemic. Whenever you are picking it back up, take the pressure off of yourself to be any place other than where you are right now.
Sure.
Because it's like the stay in your own lane, the photography hustle, the race is so flexible and malleable, and everybody's journey is different, and where you are at this exact moment is enough. It's a marathon and not a sprint, and if you have to take a second to get some water, do that and then keep going.
Absolutely. Wow. I love that. The second thing I want to ask you is just what photographers are you following right now who inspire you?
Oh, that's so many. I we were joking earlier, I get so much inspiration from photographers on Instagram.
Yeah.
The first one that comes to mind is my friend. His name is Bronson Farr, who is an incredible, he's an incredible portrait photographer in New York City.
Yeah.
He's queer, he's Black, he's so talented. He is like, he's amazing. But yeah, I think the reason why specifically I'm thinking about him is we met via Instagram a number of years ago, and we were kind of at like the same point. Like, I remember we were messaging each other like, hey, what are you charging for this? Or
yeah,
hey, like, what do you, I just got a seamless and, you know, a strobe, I don't know how this works, do you want to hang out in the studio and we'll just hang out and take photos and figure it out. And that was a couple of years ago. And since then, I have watched his career skyrocket so quickly. Mm. And not just his career, but his art and his creativity and what he makes and how he shoots and excellence all around. Mm. I'm such a fan of him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend him. But then there's a whole bunch of other photographers who I really love as well. And we're all kind of like, but kind of like a little creative class, you know.
It's, yeah,
you know, Matt Monath and Sequoia Images and Eric Chanalone and, you know, all of these people who I really, really admire, who are making work consistently. They're all, I could ramble. I'm going to, you know, once again, be that overly supportive dad. I'm not going to do that this time. But
no,
Bronson Farr, to be succinct.
I love that. And I love Bronson's work. It's so, so good. And Mark, I just want to thank you again for being on the podcast, for sharing what you shared, and for just being such a great guest. I really, really enjoyed our conversation. Like I said, I'm going to go back and listen to this a couple times just because I want to hear again what you had to say, and remind myself of those things. But also I cannot wait for you to be back on the show, because I really want to get into some other things with you too.
Oh my God. It would be an honor, literally anytime. And like I said earlier at the top of the show too, this is, I'm going to be like overly supportive and mushy. I'm sorry, but you're just going to have to deal with it. I've watched your work grow so much over the, you know, the 2 years that we have known each other. And, you know, I didn't want to be like, if you could recommend one photographer for who would it be? And then I recommend you. Like, that is like so cheesy. But I also just wanted to acknowledge your work and your craft and your skill. Like, you are dope as shit, and don't let anyone ever stop you. So I can't wait to see this podcast grow, and I can't wait to see your work grow. Just come back to the city soon.
I absolutely will. Mark, this was so much fun. Thank you again for being on the show. Thank you for everyone who is listening. And as always, we'll see you next week on Live from the Dark Room.